Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be looking at Mercedes-Benz's Q3 2024 performance.
All right.
And we've got two sources for this one.
Okay.
We've got their interim report and also the Equity Roadshow presentation.
Lots to dig into.
Yeah, lots to dig into. And I think it's pretty fascinating stuff. I think Mercedes-Benz is in the midst of a pretty major transformation.
Yeah.
They're pushing towards electrification, of course, and reshaping their model portfolio,
mm-hmm.
all while trying to maintain that really iconic status in the luxury car market.
What's really interesting here is that we see a snapshot of a company in transformation.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're going electric.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out how to reshape that model portfolio to keep their spot at the top of the luxury market.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reports reveal some pretty intriguing details.
Yeah.
For example, they're facing some headwinds with those BEV sales, particularly in China, where the competition is incredibly fierce.
The Chinese market's really heating up.
Well,
everyone wants to be there.
Yeah.
It's the place to be for EVs right now.
Yeah, for sure.
But Mercedes, they're not backing down.
No, they're not.
They're committed to innovation, and they're betting big on this new electric architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's called MMA,
right.
And it uses technology from their Vision EQX concept car,
wow.
which boasts a 93% efficiency.
That's incredible.
Basically pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, what's possible in electric powertrains?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit here.
All right.
The financials.
Let's look at the numbers.
The Mercedes-Benz Group overall saw revenue of 34.5 billion euros in Q3, which is a 7% decrease compared to last year.
Yeah.
Their EBIT also took a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Dropping 48%.
Quite a drop.
Down to 2.5 billion.
Oof.
But here's the interesting thing.
Okay.
They managed to generate a free cash flow of 2.4 billion euros.
Okay.
Which is actually a 2% increase year over year.
Wow, that's interesting.
So that's a little puzzle for our listeners out there.
Yeah.
How can a company have strong cash flow while profitability is declining?
That's a good question.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit here.
Okay.
Focus specifically on Mercedes-Benz cars.
All right, the heart of the operation.
Exactly. And this is where we see their strategic shift in action. They're really aiming for that profitable growth by focusing on the top-end luxury segment.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Got to go where the money is.
Right. And kind of reducing reliance on that entry-level market.
Yeah.
So when we look at the numbers, overall unit sales.
Okay.
The car segment declined by 1%.
Okay.
Down to 503,600 vehicles in Q3.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, BEV sales took a pretty significant hit, dropping 31%.
Yeah, that competition in the EV market's no joke.
It's not. It is really tough out there.
Yeah.
But it's not a uniform decline.
Right.
Across all models.
Okay.
Well, the S-Class, that maintained its market leadership. The EQS and GLS saw sales decrease.
So some winners and losers there.
Yeah. I mean, the luxury car buyer is becoming much more discerning these days.
For sure.
Mercedes-Benz needs to make sure that their electric offerings are hitting the mark.
Yeah, they got to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's look at the financials again for the car segment.
Okay.
Revenue down 6% to 25.6 billion.
Okay.
Adjusted EBIT took a sharper fall, down 64%.
Wow.
To 1.2 billion.
That's a big drop.
Yeah. So there are several factors that are contributing to this.
Like what?
Unfavorable product mix.
Okay.
Negative pricing effects.
Mm-hmm.
And this is partially due to the efforts to support those BEV sales.
Right.
And then also increased product-related expenses.
It all adds up.
Yeah, it does. And it's important to note that the reported EBIT includes some adjustments.
Okay.
So it includes income from provisions related to diesel vehicle proceedings and expenses from discontinuing business in Russia.
Oh, right.
So those are some things that are added in there.
Okay. So some unusual items.
Yeah, exactly.
That are affecting the number.
Yeah. And looking ahead.
Okay.
Mercedes-Benz cars projecting unit sales and revenue to be slightly below the prior year for the remainder of 2024.
Okay.
With an adjusted return on sales in the range of 7.5% to 8.5%.
So a cautious outlook.
Yeah, it is a pretty cautious outlook.
Reflecting those challenges.
Yeah, reflecting those challenges that they're facing.
All right.
All right, so now let's park the luxury cars for a minute.
Okay.
Let's hop into the world of Mercedes-Benz vans.
All right, let's see what's going on there.
What's the story over there?
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
Well, the vans segment, it's kind of a mixed bag.
Okay.
Adjusted EBIT for Q3 was down 15% to $628 million.
Okay.
But their performance for the first 9 months of 2024 has been pretty stable overall.
Okay, so what were the main things impacting that Q3 performance?
So we saw some decreasing unit sales.
Okay.
And then also some negative foreign exchange rate effects.
Hmm.
And lower gains from their Chinese equity method investments.
Okay.
But there were some positive things too.
Okay.
They benefited from a favorable product mix.
Okay.
And lower product-related expenses.
So it's kind of like a give and take?
Yeah, kind of a mixed bag, like I said.
Yeah, exactly.
Ups and downs.
Yeah. So how is that electric van strategy working out for them?
Well, they're fully committed to a fully electric future for their van lineup, but they did see a year-on-year decline in electric van sales.
Interesting.
But, you know, they're looking ahead. They've got this upcoming Vanny A electric architecture, which is set to launch in 2026.
Wow.
So that's something to look forward to.
Okay, so now let's talk about financing those vehicles.
Right.
How is the Mercedes-Benz mobility segment doing in this kind of crazy market we're in?
Yeah, the markets are definitely challenging.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been a tough time for the mobility segment.
Yeah.
Adjusted EBIT in Q3 decreased significantly, down 21% to $285 million. And, you know, a lot of that can be attributed to the difficult market environment, the fluctuating interest rates, and just the increased competition in that financial services sector.
Yeah, it's a really tough sector to be in right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how has all of this impacted their contract volume and new business?
Well, the contract volume actually remained relatively stable at $134.3 billion compared to the end of 2023. But new business did take a dip down 5% to $43.1 billion.
Okay.
But interestingly, that's partly due to a higher average financing and leasing volume per contract.
Right.
So people are actually financing or leasing pricier vehicles.
Oh, wow. So even with these challenges, the demand for those premium vehicles seems to be holding up.
Yeah, people still want those luxury cars.
Yeah, they do. They do. They do. All right.
Yeah.
So how is Mercedes-Benz mobility adapting to this ever-changing landscape?
Well, they're definitely evolving. They're focusing on leveraging customer data
to
personalize their offerings, expanding into new mobility services beyond just that traditional financing and leasing model.
Yeah.
And driving those recurring revenue streams.
It's all about staying ahead of the curve.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and creating a much more resilient business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we have covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
From dipping car sales to the promise of electric vans.
Lots to unpack.
Yeah, we'll continue our deep dive into this fascinating world of Mercedes-Benz and their vision for the future. Welcome back to our deep dive into Mercedes-Benz.
All right.
We've delved into their financials and some of the challenges that they're facing. But now I kind of want to shift gears and see what they're really showcasing in that roadshow presentation.
Yeah, let's see what they're excited about.
Yeah. What are they excited about? What's the future look like to them?
It's pretty clear that they're not just, you know, weathering the storm. They're trying to shape the future.
Yeah.
They're leaning into that luxury heritage, but they're also embracing cutting-edge tech and sustainability.
Yeah. It's kind of a balancing act.
It is. It's a tough line to walk.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they're backing it up.
Yeah.
With concrete examples.
Like what?
Like the Mercedes-Maybach SL Monogram Series.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful car.
It's a gorgeous car. It's the sportiest Maybach ever.
Wow.
Blending that classic luxury with all these, you know, really sleek, modern design elements.
Yeah, they really hit the mark with that one.
Yeah. And then they've got the for the Formula One fans out there.
Okay.
They've got the limited edition AMG GT63 Piero 4MATIC plus Motorsport Collector's Edition.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, but it is a head turner.
I bet.
With that exclusive paintwork, the star pattern, and Patronus colored accents.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So they're really catering to that traditional luxury market, but also trying to appeal to a new generation of buyer.
Yeah.
Someone who wants something unique.
Yeah.
And exciting.
For sure. For sure. All right, let's talk tech.
Okay, let's get nerdy.
Yeah, let's get into it. So they're not just talking about EVs.
Right.
They're pushing the boundaries of battery tech.
Uh-huh.
With things like high silicon anode and solid state batteries.
Those are game changers.
Yeah.
High silicon anode that increases energy density, so you get longer range.
Yeah.
And solid state batteries, that's the holy grail. Mm-hmm. Much longer range, faster charging.
Yeah.
Potentially game changing.
Yeah, and they're partnering up with these really innovative companies like Sila, Prologium, and Factorial. To accelerate these developments.
Smart move. Got to collaborate.
Yeah, for sure.
To get ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they're building the cars of the future today.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about, you know, those folks out there who worry about charging infrastructure?
Right.
And range anxiety?
That's a big concern for a lot of people.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. How are they addressing that?
Well, they're building out a massive network of high power charging plugs across key markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're forming partnerships to make sure that customers have that seamless charging experience.
So it's not a hassle.
Exactly. No one wants a hassle.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They're going to give their customers access to Tesla superchargers.
What?
Yeah. Starting in 2024 in North America.
Wow.
And then they're going to integrate the NACS connector in 2025.
That's huge.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
They're leveraging the existing infrastructure while they build out their own.
That's a smart move.
It is. It shows that they're listening to customers.
Yeah.
And they're addressing their concerns.
All right. Let's shift gears again.
Okay.
We've talked about charging.
Yep.
Let's talk about automated driving.
All right. Self-driving cars.
Yeah. Where's Mercedes on that?
They're making big progress with their Drive Pilot system.
Okay.
Which is a level 3 conditionally automated driving system.
Okay.
And they want to increase the speed limit for that.
Okay.
Up to 95 kilometers in Germany by the end of 2024.
With plans to push it even faster in the future.
So what does that mean for the driver, like in real terms?
Right.
What does level 3 automation mean?
So basically, in certain conditions, the car can handle some of the driving tasks.
Okay.
So the driver can take their hands off the wheel, their eyes off the road.
Okay.
But they have to stay alert.
Right.
Ready to take control if they need to.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a co-pilot.
Yeah, like a co-pilot.
But you still got to be paying attention.
Exactly. You can't fall asleep at the wheel.
No, no.
But it takes some of the pressure off.
Yeah.
Especially in traffic and things like that.
Yeah. And they're partnering with NVIDIA on this, too.
Oh, yeah. The AI powerhouse.
Yeah. To develop even more sophisticated automated driving systems.
It's all about pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And then they're also rolling out MBOS.
Or an operating system.
Yeah. So this is going to be the brains behind their future vehicles.
Yeah.
Starting with that MMA platform in 2025.
Right.
To going to manage everything from infotainment to navigation to automated driving functions.
It's like the central nervous system of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's creating this really seamless, personalized digital experience.
Yeah. That's what people want these days.
Yeah, it is.
A connected experience.
Yeah. 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 All right. Speaking of seamless and personalized,
right.
Let's talk about sustainability.
Right. That's a big one.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
They've got this very ambitious plan.
Yeah.
Called Ambition 2039.
Okay. 2039.
Yeah. So this is their roadmap to a net carbon neutral fleet.
Okay.
Of new vehicles by 2039.
So they're thinking long term.
Yeah.
Really long term.
Yeah. And it's not just about tailpipe emissions.
No.
They're looking at their entire value chain.
Wow.
From production to sourcing to end-of-life recycling.
They're really trying to cover all the bases.
They are. They are. And they're aiming for net carbon neutrality across their sales and after-sales locations by 2030.
That's ambitious.
Yeah, it is. It is. So they're really not just talking the talk.
Right.
They're walking the walk.
Yeah, they're putting their money where their mouth is.
They're putting their money where their mouth is. Yeah. They opened this new battery recycling factory.
Okay.
With a targeted recovery rate of over 96%.
That's amazing.
That is huge.
Yeah.
For closing that loop on battery production.
Right.
And minimizing that environmental impact.
Absolutely. You got to think about the whole life cycle of the battery.
Yeah, for sure. And then they're working to make their production facilities more sustainable.
Okay.
Their goal is to have all Mercedes-Benz production plants worldwide
Wow.
Running on 100% renewable energy with zero CO2 emissions by 2039.
That's a big goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. So they're really taking this very seriously.
Yeah, they are.
It's inspiring to see a company like this really take that proactive stance.
It is.
On sustainability.
Yeah, they're leading the way.
Yeah, they are. All right, now let's shift our focus over to the vans side of the business.
Okay.
What is their overarching strategy?
So Mercedes-Benz Vans is all about leveraging their strong market position.
Mm-hmm. While also embracing this electric revolution.
Okay.
So they want profitable growth,
right.
Especially yeah. in the U.S. and China.
Okay.
And they want to be a leader yeah. in the industry in moving to this all-electric future.
Okay. So what are the key pillars of the strategy?
They've got a three-pronged approach.
Yeah.
So they're embracing that shift to premium segments.
Okay.
Leading the charge in electric drive and digital experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then also lowering their total cost base.
Okay.
While improving their industrial footprint.
This is a pretty comprehensive approach.
Yeah. They're really trying to hit it from all angles.
Yeah.
Address those challenges and opportunities.
Yeah. And just like the cars division,
yeah.
sustainability is a major part of their strategy here.
Absolutely. Ambition 2039 applies to vans as well.
Yeah.
So net carbon neutral fleet by 2039.
Yep.
And they want a 50% share of battery electric vehicles in new van sales by 2030.
Okay. So with, you know, the rise of these electric vans, how do they plan to differentiate themselves? Right? Everyone's getting into the game.
Yeah.
Well, a big part of it is this Vanier platform yeah. that we talked about earlier.
Right.
So that's going to launch in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
It's their dedicated electric van architecture
Believe
designed it. From the ground up to be modular, scalable,
right.
and packed with the latest tech.
So they're not just retrofitting existing vans.
Oh, no, this is a brand new platform
yeah.
built for the electric age.
That's a pretty bold move.
It is. It's a big bet.
Yeah.
But they think it's going to pay off.
Yeah. And they're also, you know, focusing on delivering that superior customer experience.
Right. That's always important, especially yeah. in a competitive market like vans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk financials for the vans.
Okay. Let's look at the numbers.
What are their goals and how are they performing?
So they're aiming for an adjusted return on sales of 14% to 15% for 2024.
Okay.
Which is pretty ambitious.
Yeah.
Given, you know, the current economic climate.
Right.
They're also projecting an adjusted cash conversion rate of 0.8 to 1.0.
Okay.
So focusing on that strong cash flow.
Mm.
And they're planning significant investments in property, plant, and equipment
okay.
to support their growth and electrification plans.
They're serious about making vans a key driver.
Oh, yeah.
Of their future success.
Absolutely.
But are they on track to meet those ambitious financial targets?
Well, Q3 performance was a bit mixed.
Okay.
Adjusted EBIT took a hit.
Hmm.
But overall, their performance for the first 9 months of 2024 has been pretty stable.
Okay. So it's too early to tell.
Yeah. It's too early to say for sure.
Yeah. But they're working towards it.
They are. They're definitely working towards it.
Yeah. It seems like the vans division is on this journey.
Yeah.
Navigating this rapidly changing landscape
mm-hmm.
while also pursuing these ambitious goals.
Yeah. They got a lot on their plate.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
So how does Mercedes-Benz Mobility fit into all of this?
Mercedes-Benz Mobility, they're more than just a financing arm. They're a vital part of the Mercedes-Benz ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using data and insights from their customer base
okay.
to help shape the company's overall strategy.
Interesting.
Create new revenue streams
yeah.
and drive that recurring revenue.
So they're not just financing cars and vans.
No, they're shaping the future of mobility.
Wow.
At Mercedes-Benz.
That's a pretty crucial role.
It is, especially as this company goes through this huge transformation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So before we wrap up part two here.
Okay.
Let's highlight some specific examples of Mercedes-Benz's strategic initiatives.
Yeah, let's get specific.
Let's get specific. So one notable initiative is their collaboration
okay.
with Chinese battery manufacturer CATL.
Oh, yeah, CATL. They're a big player.
Yeah, huge. So they're working together to develop and produce high-performance battery cells.
Okay.
For Mercedes-Benz electric vehicles.
So it's all about securing that battery supply,
yeah.
which is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
For their EV plans.
Yeah, and it's a smart move to partner with a leading supplier like that.
He told me.
Leverage each other's strength.
Right.
Accelerate that innovation in the EV space.
Exactly. Got to work together to move forward.
Yeah. And they're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Right. Got to diversify. They're also collaborating with other companies like Envision AESC.
okay.
another battery manufacturer,
mm-hmm.
and they're working on a joint venture with ACC, or Automotive Cells Company, SE,
okay.
to establish a large-scale battery cell production in Europe.
So really focusing on that battery supply chain.
Yeah, it's all about that robust, sustainable battery supply chain.
Yeah, that's the key.
For those future electric vehicles.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but their initiatives don't stop there.
Okay, what else are they up to?
So they're also exploring these new business models.
Okay.
Right? Like subscription services for their vehicles.
Oh, yeah, that's a growing trend
yeah.
in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, it offers flexibility, convenience.
Caters to those consumers who want access to a variety of vehicles and services.
Yeah.
Without that long-term commitment of ownership.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a really interesting evolution.
It is. It's changing how we think about cars.
It is. It is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not forgetting their roots.
Right.
They're still investing heavily in developing new and exciting models.
Got to keep the lineup fresh.
Yeah, got to keep it fresh.
And exciting.
Yeah, to keep that lineup appealing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like they're juggling all these priorities.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah. They're navigating that complex economic landscape.
Mm-hmm.
They're embracing the electric revolution.
Yeah.
They're pushing those boundaries of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to stay true to their luxury heritage.
It's a lot to handle.
It is. It is.
But it shows their adaptability
yeah.
and their commitment to innovation.
Yeah.
They're not just reacting to change. They're trying to shape it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive into Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground with Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
You know, their financial strategic shifts,
mm-hmm.
their moves toward technology and sustainability.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a complex picture.
It is.
But it's fascinating.
Yeah, so let's pull it all together.
Okay.
What does all of this mean
yeah.
for the future of Mercedes-Benz?
I think it shows a company at a crossroads.
Okay.
You know, they're facing tough competition. Mm. The market's changing rapidly.
Yeah.
Electric vehicles, autonomous driving, sustainability.
Yeah.
Those are all huge factors reshaping the whole industry.
That whole new ballgame.
It is.
And Mercedes knows they can't just rely on their legacy anymore.
Right. They got to adapt to survive.
Right. Yeah. But they do have a lot of strength.
Yeah. Like what?
They've got a powerful brand.
Mm-hmm.
A history of innovation.
For sure.
Global reach.
Absolutely.
So the question is, can they leverage all of that?
Yeah.
To succeed in this new era of mobility?
Yeah. Can they make the right moves?
Yeah. And I think what's impressive is they're not just reacting
yeah.
to these changes.
Right.
They're actively trying to shape the future.
Yeah, they're not just sitting back.
No.
They're being proactive.
Yeah, they're investing in new tech, new business models, and forming these key partnerships.
Yeah, they're trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and they're not shying away from tough decisions either.
Like what?
They're shifting focus to the top end of the market.
Right.
Where they have a strong advantage.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and streamlining operations.
Okay.
To improve efficiency and cut costs.
Got to be lean and mean.
Yeah.
To compete.
Yeah. And their approach to this battery challenge is a great example.
How so?
I mean, they're developing those new battery technologies.
Yeah.
Partnering with manufacturers,
mm-hmm.
building that recycling facility.
Yeah. They're thinking long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
About the big picture.
It really shows that they're not just trying to survive. They want to thrive.
They want to win.
You want to win. Yeah. They're ambitious and proactive.
Mm-hmm.
But also realistic
yeah.
about that need for collaboration.
Right. You can't do it all alone.
No.
Especially in this industry.
So they're building this ecosystem of partners.
Yeah.
From tech companies
yeah.
to battery manufacturers to those charging infrastructure providers.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
It's a network.
They understand that the future of mobility is about working together.
Oh, yeah. Collaboration is key.
Yeah. And they're forming those alliances
right.
that they need.
To succeed.
To succeed. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, as we kind of wrap up this deep dive here,
yeah.
there's some key takeaways, I think, for anyone who's following Mercedes-Benz.
Okay, what are they?
This is a company in transition,
mm-hmm.
facing both challenges.
For sure.
And opportunities.
Right.
But they've got a vision.
Yeah.
And they're taking the steps to make that vision a reality.
You're putting in the work.
Yeah, they are. They are. So this deep dive has really revealed that Mercedes-Benz is aiming to thrive.
Yeah, they're not just content with the status quo.
No. They want to shape the future.
Yeah, they're ambitious.
They are.
And they're not afraid to take risks.
No, they're not. Right, so as you continue to follow their journey,
yeah.
remember these key takeaways.
It's going to be an interesting ride.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah.
So we've given you a lot to consider in this deep dive.
We have.
Now it's time for you,
yeah,
our listeners, to form your own conclusions.
Right.
What do you think lies ahead for Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, what's the future hold?
What will determine their success or failure?
Yeah, it's a tough industry.
It is a tough industry.
A lot of competition.
Yeah, so take some time to reflect.
Yeah, think about it.
And we'll be back soon.
We will.
With another deep dive.
Yeah.
Into a fascinating topic.
Always something new to explore.
Always something new to explore.
Yeah.
All right. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
See you next time.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.